Speaking of the Franchise Tax Board and violations, you know how you can just send a letter to the IRS, tax board, or you can just say Sacramento. So I got a letter mailed to me, and it just said, Mark Schneidman, Coldwell Banker, Santa Barbara, California, 93105. And it got to me. So I don't know if I'm, famous or because what's interesting, our office used to be like 2-3 doors away, 3902 versus 3938. It was just so close. And yet they would return mail that went there. But yet I got one with no address at all. So instead of them returning it. So joining me, Mr. Adam Simmons, a geologist. Is it hydrologist?
Hydrogeologist.
Hydrogeologist. I never get that correct. And I was mentioning that there's like 900 real estate agents and 2 geologists in Santa Barbara?
There's more than that. You look in the phone book, there's plenty of them.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the name of the guy? He lives in Samarkand, and he was getting on in years. He didn't want to crawl under houses anymore.
Dick Cousineau. Great guy.
He told me once that he loved Summerlin, because it put his kids through college.
Oh, that's a geologic hazard specialty there. Paid for my retirement fund also, actually.
Right. And now, of course, people are listening who live in Summerlin, who have listings in Summerlin. I have sold property in Summerlin. And like any place in town, you got to look what you're getting, know what you're buying, and maybe fix things.
Sure. I mean, the thing about Summerlin, they call it a special problems area because of the type of material that's there. It's a Rincon Formation, which some people have heard of and some haven't, but it's a marine shale that is known for expansion and soil creep and even landslides on the steeper slopes. So it can be a tough area there, but you got to remember this. The Rincon Formation actually extends not just through Summerlin, but it goes all the way through our foothills, Northridge, that area out there, all the way out to Point Conception and to Ojai to the south. So it's a big band. But Summerlin gets picked on.
Summerlin gets picked on, and well, because basically it's so small, and that whole area,
right, the whole community,
and so clearly, anyone who is going to be buying houses in the foothills really needs to have someone someone really know what the soil is, and you look for telltale signs.
Sure.
What are some telltale signs that come up that people would red flag, so to speak?
Usually the places with the nice views, that's a telltale sign. Seriously, if they're elevated, they're elevated materials that have been lifted up by faulting and folding and so forth. I'm kidding. There's a lot of beautiful homes with nice views that don't have the Rincon Shale or Monterey Shale. But when the shale gets uplifted like that and eroded back, that's where it becomes more problematic. So it can be remedied. You do good drainage, good foundations, and for the most part, that's all you really need to do. But it can be a tough scenario too, like the property I just came from up there. So,
and that's going to involve. So sometimes you can get into some big money fixes.
Sure, yeah, huge money. I mean, some of this one street Northridge, it's been some great spots and some spots that are difficult too. So you just as long as you tackle them and do them right, that's the key,
It seems like in the 1950s and 60s and even 70s, when a lot of homes were being built in Santa Barbara, you would have thought that the basics, just like water mitigation, some basic stuff that we now focus on, all these home inspections and when you go out and do inspections, famous words, what were they thinking?
Yeah, I think that from my take on it, at least, it seems like a lot of development in the flatter areas, the tract homes and so forth, and they took that same foundation design and drainage concept, which is literally little or nothing, and applied that to the development that started to occur in the foothills, because everything else downslope was taken, basically. And people started wanting views, and in the older days, they didn't want that exposure to the elements and so forth, so they'd build in the lower-lying areas. Typically, there was always estates up high, but you look at the old aerials, there was very few homes up there in the Riviera, a couple homes at the most.
Right. Well, maybe they didn't have the roads, they didn't have the
right
infrastructure,
sure,
and utility and stuff,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
A few mountain people up there,
yeah,
in Panty Cave,
yeah,
though,
oh, yeah,
septic,
yep,
tanks.
Mountain
and,
Drive, same
propane
thing. Propane. Yep, just finished one up there, too. So, yeah, so, I mean, once they started to develop on these upper areas up there, they just used the the same principles for development for foundations in basically shallow and limited steel and so forth. And then once they started to see the problems occurring years or decades later, then they realized, well, you know, we need to pay some more attention to this and get something that's actually solid and embedded into the firm materials to keep it from moving down the slope.
Right. So. Right. So depending on the soil you have, but even if so one of the things you can do, I mean, or sometimes, well, you have a lot of maps and you can kind of get a feel for the kind of soil, but people mm-hmm. sometimes have to hire and do borings and see how deep you have to go.
Yes. In fact, that's what we're, this last one I just came to, that's what we're going to do, is do some reverse engineering for some retaining walls that were placed without anybody's idea as to how they were done. You know, nobody seems to know who did it, when they did it, how it was built. And the city says, hey, we need to know if this is legitimate, is this going to hold up the slope, or is this a problem? So we're going to have to do some borings out there. And that was my meeting this morning. I apologize for being late.
No. You know what? Timing, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. Worked out fine.
I even shaved before I came here, too, just to make myself look really clean.
You look like Greg House. You're just like, the guy never shaved.
Oh, see, that's the beauty of radio, isn't it?
Yeah, beauty of being one of two geologists
that's
in Santa
it.
Barbara.
That's it.
So, you know, I was talking to somebody, talking with Adam Simmons, geologist. I wish we should call your cell phone live so people can hear your message. I mean, you know, you're so busy. It's like, this is Adam. Let me ask you.
Just give me a number. Yeah. Straight to the point.
I don't have time. I was in a house and someone had removed a wall, could have been a bearing wall, and there was a post, and then it was like, well, was the post supported under this nice travertine tile?
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of mine said, well, you know, they have, sometimes you can use an X-ray machine to try to see size of the footing.
Sure.
So have you incorporated that?
We've done that to locate steel in walls and in floors and so forth, just to see had they even used steel in the support, especially like old sandstone walls from the 20s. And there was one property that just sold recently you might have heard about. Neat old house built in the 20s, and I said, there's no way they put steel in this wall. And sure enough, they x-rayed it, and there was steel in it. Limited, it wouldn't be today's standards, but the fact that they even had the knowledge of putting the steel in, I think, was big. But
was this a retaining wall?
It was a retaining wall, but also a wall that supports the house.
Part of the house.
Right. Big sandstone wall house, you know. So.
Well, you know, they built the Brooklyn Bridge
there
in the 1800s. They should have.
Somebody knew something.
Knew something, but they certainly weren't applying it, as you say.
That's it. In this case, they did do the right thing, and I believe it had something to do with the 25 quake and seeing the damage resulting. Without the use of steel and the unreinforced brick and masonry buildings downtown.
Yes.
So somebody said, hey, let's throw a little bit of steel in here, huh, and see what happens, you know?
And
that might have been the process there.
So the X-ray, and where do you get these X-ray machines? You rent them?
No, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, you can try to steal one from your dentist maybe or something, but I think it's more of a company like a soils firms that have those X-rays, and you just call them up, and I think it's $100 or $200 to have them come out and check that for you.
Really?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Well, it's like it's like getting the sewer line scoped.
Yeah, as long as you wear your lead clothing when you're next to these guys, you know, that's the important part.
Yeah, well, I noticed you used to have hair.
That's it.
And I don't know if it's a result of all the...
Too much radiation.
The X-rays, talking with Adam Simmons, geologist. So X-rays, so you just need to, these foundation walls, water mitigation, it's always just a joke, you know, and I've been on so many inspections with you that now I walk around and you can just look up and see. I was at a particular house yesterday, and it has hardwood floors in the kitchen, and I can't really tell if there's water problem coming up. Mm-hmm. Somebody came over who does woodwork, and he looked outside, and there was a concrete patio. That came up, of course, right to the house. And he was suggesting that it was wicking into the moisture, into the slab, possibly.
Each one is so different. I was going to look at, I looked at one, I think, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks now in Montecito, where it was a question as to why the floors were cupping. And the floors seemed to be uniformly cupping throughout, which, you know, sparked something in my head that this is probably not moisture-related because it's on a slab. And usually if it's moisture-related, it's more definite cupping near the source of the water problem area where, like, say, the slope sloping towards the structure.
Right, by patio door.
Patio doors. And you see the cupping within the 2-foot or 3-foot radius
from
that area.
And for those listening, cupping, like warping.
Warping. And, you know, and then there's some that are warped purposely and to make it look distressed and old world looking, which I really like too. And people call me on those, and I said, no, that's how they
that's how it was designed.
Yes. But I mean, it's in that case, it wasn't really a drainage problem. It was the flooring hadn't adjusted to the moisture at that particular location, which is, you know, Santa Barbara's a very high humidity area, and woods come from all over the place. And sometimes they'll just slap them down, and they react to the moisture in the air. Nothing to do with exterior moisture getting into the slab or the house itself.
Well, this is a little house. It's been on the market for a while, bank-owned. Mm. Of course,
nobody knows anything.
Now it's like nobody knows anything, and now it's six offers. I'm one of six.
Wow.
So we're rolling the dice. Good. We'll see if we get it, and then we'll hire Gil Hoflick at Independent Building Inspections.
He's a good guy.
See if he, we'll see if he needs you. Good. But it, you know, to me, I was, you know, water mitigation, keep water away from the house. Concrete is really usually what you want next to the house, but there was also a little, there might be a little slope.
Yeah, every time I see the slabs that are the same elevation as the interior, that's always a difficult
problem. That was the point I was bringing up, because I went back and looked at my house, and there was a good 4 inches plus from the threshold of my slider down to the rear patio.
That's
I don't know if there's an ideal length, distance drop.
Those Thunderbird homes, they did a nice job, didn't they?
Thank you. Yes. Adam used to live in my neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right. But no, in some of the newer ones, they like people like it flush with the outside and inside. There's no step or anything, so it becomes more challenging to keep the water from getting into the interior portions.
But I didn't think of it when I was at the house, but when I went home, I thought of it, went out, checked out my, and I think they poured these big, beautiful blocks of, you know, concrete patio, and they might have gone up a little higher than they should have.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I don't think it's that bad. We're talking with Adam Simmons, a geologist. I don't think it's that bad. That'll come back. I'll get the lawsuit.
We'll find out.
Put that in writing to the buyer. That's not a problem. Don't worry
about it. No worries.
It's nothing. Just cosmetic.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back and talk about Adam's selling his house in the Thunderbird Track and his adamant refusal to order and pay for a natural hazard disclosure report that all sellers, they don't necessarily have to pay someone. They could do it themselves. And how we had to basically tie Adam down and force feed him the natural hazard
disclosure.
We have
options.
We have options. So we'll talk about that and any mold or drainage issues that come up along the way. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Adam Simmons, geologist, is my guest. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.